behind there and listened to his preaching, and he used a lot of my scriptures. And then the other night, last Sunday, I believe it was, Brother Pepper was hitting on the scriptures again, but he's talking about getting to go last. But it's okay unless you're a preacher and everyone else done preaching it for you. And then, but I've decided to go ahead and stick with what I had gathered up beforehand. It was talking about the Christmas story in Matthew chapter 2, where I'm going to be reading. And Brother James did a wonderful job. It seemed like he took it a little bit different direction, but my title tonight is Warned by God. In Matthew chapter 2, we're going to begin. It says, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the day of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? We have seen a star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes to the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when he had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there till I bring thee word, for Herod will seek him, the young child, to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coasts thereof, from the 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and will not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. And when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the house, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the part of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. And quite a few scriptures here, but let's all just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just ask, Lord God, that you help us, Lord, heed your word, take warning, God, what you have to say tonight, Lord, to us. God, we pray, Lord, that we would learn from your word, God, and profit from it, God, and help others, God, that draw near to you, Lord. We just pray to have your way here tonight, Lord. We give you the praise and the thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've read this many times over the years, and I just finished reading through my Bible for the third time in a row, 3 years in a row, but I've done it once or twice before, but not consecutively, and I'm beginning the fourth time now, but I've got to the point where I don't feel right in the morning if I don't spend time reading the Bible before I go to work. I just, I have to get up pretty early to do it sometimes, but it's worth it to me. But it just makes my day go better. But I've read this story many times, and I've never caught the similarities in this story of Genesis and also in the book of Matthew here. There's two Josephs it talks about. Joseph in the Old Testament, he was dreaming. Also, the Lord gave him dreams, and he ended up in Egypt also. And he was fulfilling God's plan for saving many lives. And we see the same thing here in Matthew. Joseph was being warned by God that Herod was not wanting to come and worship him, as he said, but rather he wanted to destroy Jesus, this baby. And we also see the wise men being warned in verse 12 there, and they went home another way instead of going back to Herod. But as we look at Joseph in the Old Testament in Genesis 37 and 5, it says, Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Already they hated him because he was their father's favorite child, because he is a child of old age. But anyway, Joseph had these dreams, and he told them to his brothers and his dad and mom. And then we know the story how he was sold to the Midianite merchantmen, and they took him down, and they sold him into Egypt into slavery for a few pieces of silver. But anyway, God had a plan for his life, and it didn't look like things were going his way, but he didn't get all stressed out. It seemed like he just kept that relationship going with the Lord, just like Brother Pepper was talking about a minute ago. But both of these Josephs knew the Lord well. They had that relationship, and they heard from God, and God spoke to them. And as I was reading this, the thought came to my mind, that scripture in Romans 12 and 21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And I put that in my scriptures, and then the Lord spoke to us through tongue interpretation, I believe it was last Sunday, and that was part of it, what the Lord spoke to us. But anyway, in Genesis 50, in verse 19 through 20, it says, Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. And because Joseph was willing to go with God's plan for his life there and just follow his leading, he ended up saving his whole family during the famine that lasted, I think, 7 years, if I remember right, several years. But anyway, he saved a lot of people because of his willingness to obey God and follow him, his leading. And we can also look at Jesus, his life, is, as we know, if he hadn't followed the Lord's plan for his life all the way through, how many of us would have been saved? None of us. I mean, it was only by him going to the cross that many lives were saved. And when we look at Matthew 2 and 13, it says, and when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So the Lord was revealing to him what Herod's real intentions were. It wasn't to come and worship him. He wanted to take his life because he was jealous and he was afraid of losing his kingdom. But he thought he was going to set his kingdom up here and instead of take his place. Anyway, the Lord could have, in an instant, did away with Herod if he had chose to, but it wasn't his plan to work that way. But we sometimes wonder why God doesn't do this, do that. You know, he knows better than what we do how to work things out, but we just got to learn to listen to him and let him have his way. And in Revelations 12 and 1, this was part of my Bible reading at that time, daily reading, and it went right along with the story. And it says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and under her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up unto God and to his throne." And anyway, this is a reference of Satan being kicked out of heaven, but it also talks about the birth of Christ, and immediately the devil come to destroy him and do away with him. And he was fighting against Jesus all the way, from even a baby on forward, yet because he was willing to listen to the Father and do as he had for him to do, then it all worked out, and the Lord helped him. In Luke 24 and 51, it says, "And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen." And this goes right along with the scripture I just read. I think I left one verse out there in Revelations. I didn't go quite far enough. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, and they should feed her there 1,260 years. But I want to back up one scripture there. It's what I was looking for. It says, "He ruled all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up to God and to his throne." And this scripture is talking about Jesus being caught up to the Father. And Luke, and also in Acts 1 and 9, it says, "When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.'" And so this is talking about his ascension after he rose from the dead after 3 days, and he walked the face of the earth for a few days, and then he was just ascended back to the Father, where he remains to this time until he comes back to take us home. But both Josephs had their part to play. And even though the Lord warned Joseph and Mary, you know, what was going to happen. They had to do their part. And the Lord spoke to us many times here over the years. He has something for us to do. He wants us to shine these last hours. And we have our part to play. Just like they did their part, they had to obey the Lord and let Him work in their lives. We also must be submissive to the Lord and obedient and just continue walking with Him, and He'll fulfill what He's got for us to do if we'll just let Him have His way. But God warns us many times in different ways, but one of the ways is through His Word. In Psalms 19:7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." So His Word gives us warning. He tells us what He expects of us and what the results will be if we obey and if we do not obey. And He spoke to Cornelius in Acts 10:22. And said, "And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one that feareth God and of good report among all nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel and sent for thee unto his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him." And verse 28, it says, "And he said to them, ye know how that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come to one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent. For I asked therefore of what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting till this hour. In the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee. Thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. In every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. And the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." So he's talking here, he let them know that, you know, one nation wasn't better than another, one race or another, but all people are on equal planes in the sight of God. We're all his creation, and he loves each and every one of us. And it doesn't matter whether we're Jews or Gentiles, God still loves us and just the same. And he is revealing that to Peter and Cornelius there. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:14. It says, "And we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." So he said one of the jobs of the Christian is to warn the unruly, those that aren't living right, and we see that things, judgment's coming. If we don't warn them, then we're not doing what the Lord told us to do. We got to give them a fair chance, you know, take heed. You know, there's danger coming if you don't listen to what we got to say. And it's not our point of view, it's what the Lord said to do. And the unruly is those that are hard to control or restrain or keep in order or disobedient. That's what the definition was. So we see many people around us today in that shape, you know, just living how they want to live. Don't care what God wants or what His Word says. But we got to warn them anyway. And if they don't take heed, then it's on them. If we have warned them, just like in the Old Testament, the watchman, he was told to sound the alarm, you know, when the enemy was coming. And if people didn't take heed to it, then it was on their own head. And if they weren't warned, then it would be on the watchman for not warning them beforehand. But one of the first things we see is the Bible starts out there in Genesis is Adam and Eve in the garden, and there's a warning from God. Don't touch that one tree. What do? They touch that one tree. You know, man's track record of taking heed to warnings isn't very good. I mean, there's a few good examples in the Bible we can look at, and Noah's one of them. And he was warned by God, and he went out and told the people that the flood was coming, and they didn't listen to him. They thought he was crazy. You know, build this ship, because the water's coming. And he and his family were saved because they obeyed the Lord. They listened to him and did what he said. But all those people that thought he was crazy, those that were unruly, they were warned, but they didn't listen. But it cost them. And we can look at Pharaoh in Egypt. He was warned repeatedly by God, you know, turn my people loose. And they didn't turn them loose. He'd say he would, then he'd take his turn. He would say, I ain't going to, you know. And then we see what became of it. It ended up costing him his life and all of his soldiers, his whole army. But Matthew 7 and 13. It says, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So there's going to be more that do not heed the warnings of God and go that straight and narrow way than there is that do. There's many that's going to go the broad way that leads to destruction. It's just not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. And the Lord warns us in his word. He said, if your righteousness does not exceed that of the Pharisees, you know, it's not just rituals and things that look good before man's eyes that we're drawn close to the Lord. He looks at our heart. He knows what's really inside, whether we're living for him or not. And 1 Corinthians 14 and 3, it says, he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and to comfort. These three things, the gift of prophecy works. But one of the second one there, exhortation, it can be also mean warning. There comes from God. You know, he speaks directly to us through the Holy Spirit, and we can either take heed to it or not. And we look at Jonah 3 and 3. He was one of those that the Lord told him to go warn the people, you know, said there's judgment coming if you don't change your ways. And says, so Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city in 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word was come to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. And let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, and let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. And who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not, because they listened to the prophet, and they obeyed God, and they repented and turned from the wicked ways. Then they were spared. But we can look, I think it's approximately 100 years later, a couple books back on further, I think it's Nahum, talks about how they, once again, judgment was coming their way because they went back to their old ways. But wouldn't it be wonderful if America would repent and turn from their wicked ways, you know, just like they did in that instance here. And yet the prophet himself, the Lord had to deal with him just as much as he did with the people. He wasn't too willing to obey the Lord at the beginning. God had to put him in some rough places where he decided to go and proclaim that message, because he knew that they would repent, and he was upset, which don't make sense to me. But I'm just thankful for those in the Bible that did listen to God and they did their part, both Josephs, that saved many lives because of their obedience to God, and the different ones, Noah, anyway, we got our part to play too. You know, if we do what the Lord tells us to do each day, you know, may not look like we're doing anything really great, but each little obedience is either drawing people to the Lord or turning them away, depending on how we are living. And anyway, in Israel, God warned them, you know, not to turn away in pride. In Deuteronomy 8 and 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and the silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, where is fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of a rock of flint. So it says not to forget him. In verse 17, and thou shalt say in thine heart, My power and my might hath mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember that the Lord thy God is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers, as in this day. And it shall be, if thou do all at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As a nation which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. And the Lord's warned us over and over many times. You know, he's coming, be prepared, watch, be ready. And it's only up to us, and we don't know the future, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that aren't ready, that didn't take heed to that warning. And We can go down the road and see signs beside the road, you know, school zone, slow down, and people still fly through there, have flashing lights and everything. And we got a crosswalk there by our shop, and it's got a flashing light, and there's a couple of people who've been bumped by a car. One walking across the road playing with his phone, and someone didn't see him and kind of hit him. He rolled up over the windshield, and thank goodness it didn't injure him, but he was a little sore for a day or two. But, you know, there's been some close calls. And just here about a week ago, there's a train hit a RV there in Claremore, and it was parked on the tracks. You know, the guard arm down or lights going or whatever, but somehow it ended up getting hit. You can look at a pack of cigarettes, all the warnings on there, you know, it causes cancer, don't do this, you know, but yet people go and spend a lot of money to get cancer, and then they get a lot more money to get rid of it, which I just wonder about some people, you know. You tell them and warn them, and yet it just goes in one ear and out the other. But God's give us many warnings, and in His Word, if we'll just read it and take heed to it, it'll profit us, and we'll be ready when He does come. But I don't want to be ready. And hope all of us are. Back to you, Pastor.